TUC Radio San Francisco, Time of Useful Consciousness. Andreas Toupadakis, Hiroshima Diary. About a year ago, the Greek-born chemist Andreas Toupadakis resigned from the nuclear weapons program at Lawrence Livermore Lab. He found that, instead of working on the safe disposal of nuclear weapons, he was asked to work on what he calls Manhattan No. 2, a new Star Wars-style space-based weapons system. He has since become an eloquent campaigner against nuclear weapons. In August of 2000, he was invited to speak at the anti-nuclear conference and memorial service for the Japanese victims of the bomb dropped by the U.S. on Hiroshima. He returned deeply moved after meeting the survivors. This is a very personal conversation based on his diary and the photos he brought back. This recording was made in the Toupadakis family home in Livermore, just a few miles from his former workplace. You were invited to go to Hiroshima for Hiroshima Day 2000.
Right, and I was very pleased to have the opportunity to be there because I saw these things in the spirit world when I was at the lab working. That was pretty fascinating to me when I went there to see what I saw even before I saw it in the physical realm. All these terrible pictures, hard to believe that humans would do it to humans. It was a life-changing experience. I knew it would do it to me, but I didn't know exactly to what extent. But I do know when I put my hands into the body and bones of the man that was burned up almost completely on his back, and he had to be on his stomach without moving, laid down 21 months. And because of that, as you can see in the picture, I'll show you, there is no flesh on the bones of the in the front, in the chest. So if you just knock with your finger the bones, you can hear it just like a pipe. You can hear it's just bone. There is not any flesh on it.
But he's alive.
But he's alive. This is an incredible spirit, courageous spirit to live on. I believe he has an extremely important message for people.
You mean he found the strength to survive because he wanted to be a witness?
Right. Most of the survivors, from what I heard from their stories, are people that they wanted to continue to live so they will tell the story. And in fact, many of them that I met when they were there, they said they don't want to die until they see the nuclear weapons being abolished. So here is him. Yeah, while we were talking, he gave me his card, which is, people would say it's his business card, but this person really was incapable all his life to work, and I was naive to ask the question what he's doing for a living. From what he told me, if he doesn't do exercises with at the hospital every 3 days or every 2-3 days, his back will freeze and he cannot move at all. All his life he could not work. So this person, from what you see of his card here, it says Nagasaki Atomic Bomb Sufferers Council Sub-President. His name is Sumitaru Taniguchi. And that is the book about him, The Postman of Nagasaki. So he's in a committee there, you know, participating for the peace movement.
So this picture shows him on the day the bomb was dropped.
Yes, so his picture here is exactly the day that was the bomb was dropped, and then they brought him to the hospital. He's 16 years old here, boy. And then here is his back now. He's 71 years old. You can see his back. It's an incredible sight. And this is the most awful thing that you can see, really. His front, you can see the bones, and you can touch. I put my fingers there, and you couldn't see any flesh. There is no any flesh on the surface of the bones. And you can see his face. I think his face is without any expression. I wonder what his thoughts are the moment we were taking the picture. I wonder what he was thinking at that time, but I do know what I was thinking, and at the end, they asked me to participate in a kind of funny show, and I just had to run at the bathroom to cry. I just could not handle it. And the same thing happened when I came back, talking to my family about it at the dinner table. I couldn't hold it without crying. I don't think people really realize what is going to happen. The Einstein Manifesto says that the public and even the men of authority cannot grasp what it means to have a nuclear war. And they just don't even comprehend what it means. How many of the people that are in official positions today, especially in the nuclear states, have been in Nagasaki and Hiroshima to see these atrocities? A couple months ago, there was an invitation for all the rulers, the world leaders in Japan, and I know that they had been invited to go and see the museums and see all these things that I saw. And from what I heard, no one went there. No one. Everyone did to do whatever business, whatever, to continue their bases there, their military bases and all these things. Nobody went to see firsthand and to talk with the survivors and see the pictures in the movies. They are not willing, and this is very dangerous. We are in a time, I believe, that if we do not act fast to do really something drastic, we will be in a situation that we cannot dream of. Why? Here is an article I was reading at the Sunday Times, which is, I think, taken from Washington. And it says, the title of the article, it says, "Missile Defense System Can Work," general claims. And this gentleman here speaks, among other things, this way. He says, "Given our extensive toolbox and the 40 years of experience the United States has with offensive and defensive weapon systems, we know how to play the countermeasures game, and we know how to win." This is a military official. He has no any idea about physics and if this missile defense system can work or not. Big names of scientists in MIT and many politicians and many military people, they do know this thing is ridiculous. It's not going to work. Just like 55 years ago, they really want to go ahead and they claim that they know how to win. These people are very dangerous, in my opinion. They really will destroy the world unless somehow they come to their senses when somehow the public puts people in these positions of authority that they are wise. Because apparently these people have not realized what will be involved in a war with nuclear bombs. They have not realized that no one will be the winner. They stated very explicitly, they say that they will win. That is why my personal opinion is we are in a very dangerous situation. How can we talk about national missile defense system when any nation that has nuclear weapons, and we can take anyone you want, it can put in every major city in the United States, in a basement, a nuclear bomb. Even as we speak, maybe it is done already, even in Russia or in China, that we don't have to have delivery systems or anything. They do not need the technology. It can go off any time by monitoring from a different country, from the other side of the world. So what is the meaning about all these secrets and all about defense and all about making more weapons? So we realize if we think this way, and which is a very possible scenario and a very good possibility, there is no way to survive the human species unless we take the road of kindness, the road of compassion, and the road of love. We cannot give orders to planes and go and devastate Iraq or devastate Kosovo. We are playing with the fire. And this fire is not just the fire we know so far. We know what it means, this kind of fire. So why do we have leaders that they dare to order planes to go and massacre civilians and do what they do into other countries? Why would we do that? Any moment, countries that they do have nuclear weapons can really do what happened in Pearl Harbor. Remember what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. With no any warning, in 3 seconds, and another 3 seconds after 3 days, more than 204,000 people were incinerated, and hundreds of thousands of people suffer even up today, even as we speak. And that was no warning at all. So there is a law that whatever goes around comes back. So I can see in the near future, if people don't wake up and come together and follow the path of kindness, that this is going to come back. If we don't, people decide to eventually abolish war. Not just the weapons, but the idea of war, the institution of war. What is going to happen? It's going to come back here. You drop 2 bombs without warning there, they will do the same thing to you sooner or later. They don't have to have delivery systems, these nations that possess nuclear weapons, and we know it. They can put in a suitcase, bring it here, and nobody will know about it. There is a dream that some people have that one day they will stop the wars and they will have peace by dominating the world under threat using nuclear extortion. Nuclear extortion is not going to work. There is no way to have democracy and have peace when a country dominates the whole world using threat and nuclear weapons as a means to maintain peace. Most people of the world, instead using their money to go and take a vacation, I don't know where in the place of the earth, I would recommend to them to put this money to a trip in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, go and educate themselves, because that way, when they become aware what is coming up on their head, their children and grandchildren's head, if we realize this, then we can vote, we can choose. There is no way to have a choice unless you know. So I hope that some people would say, this is our own future. And we're not going to have future unless we really know what is going on. And if many people would do that, and especially people of authority in authority positions, power positions, take their families, go into these places and get educated for a couple of weeks and see what it means, what will be like. Hear the survivors, touch them, and then come back. I believe the policies that they will have, that will be different. They all have families. They all have children, friends, wives, husbands. I believe these things will touch their humanity.
You know, I think people still believe a bomb falls and a neighborhood gets destroyed. You know, 15 houses get destroyed, and there may be a fire and you can put it out. Right. I don't think people know the scale of an atomic bomb on a city.
They do not know. They just think that they will, some worlds will be destroyed, some cities will be destroyed, but then we can rebuild them. Then we can live on. No, it is completely ignorant to think this way, because whatever nuclear dust goes in the air and falls down with rain, it's going to bring a slow death, painful death, and the effects of radiation to your health. The painful effects. It's not just that you're losing your hair. People get the cancer, and after 2 months, a year, 5 years, they die in pain. But not only that. In the meantime, when they have children, they will have this teratogenesis. What you will give birth is not human beings. And these pictures that I have right here, they are very apparent to what happens when radiation hits your body. There is pictures here that it's hard to believe these things are happening. You're talking about a high rate, a very high rate of these incidents in every place that there is nuclear weapons testing, nuclear power plants, or even mining.
Are these pictures from the museum?
No, these pictures are from actually a book that has just come out. And this is from, you can read it, it's Semipalatinsk test site in Russia or Kazakhstan. And you can see, children are born without hands. Children are born that their head is much larger than their body. There are cows with 6 legs instead of 4. There are children with all this awful appearance of cancer in their head. There's children born with 1 eye, and their ears are down on their neck. It's a completely teratogenesis effect. then you see this person here with all this disfigured face. You can't even see his eyes. But the interesting is that these things are also in the United States, but these things are not coming out on the main media. When I was in New York, there was a lady from Long Island and brought pictures with a cow with two heads, double head. There were all kind of abnormalities from people's gardens, all kinds of flowers, and all kinds of anomalies, incredible anomalies happening to the plains around that area. And now that people come together in these meetings, in these conferences, everyone brings from his own place pictures and demonstrations. This little girl, she's in Maria's age. She's only 14 years old, and she gave a speech. She's an activist. She came with her mother from Russia, and they're fighting the contamination there. There are whole villages around Chernobyl right now. They are buried under, and they are burying them with bulldozers, with soil. They're burying the whole villages. In fact, there are villages they have made a tomb. They say this is the village tomb. It's just indicating that the whole village is dead. All the city hall, the houses, everything is empty. Everything is completely abandoned, and they're tearing them apart now with bulldozers. They put them down because the air and the wind and the water will take these things away and spread the contamination. It is a tragic story that has been hidden from the main media, and we forgot the torture that brought to the whole Europe, how many days people could not eat vegetables and drink milk. Just a little accident, because what is coming up on humanity cannot be compared to what happened in Chernobyl or in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But you can see that little accident, what effect had and has been forgotten, and there are thousands of people dying right now around that area, and they cannot go back to their houses. And we're just having thousands of nuclear power plants around the world, and we want to build more. This is called insanity. This girl here is 18 years old, and she's between 2 and 2.5 feet tall. Her father was holding her like a package, just like this, 2.5 feet.
Where's she from?
She's from Russia. And she's a victim of nuclear testing.
And she's giving a speech?
Yes, she gave a speech, actually. You can see her. They put her on the, how do you call this, support there.
Yeah.
Giving a speech against nuclear weapons. 18 years old, and she's 2.5 feet. Young people here. There's so much awareness there. That's how you observe that. I left and I felt this. If the awareness that exists today in Japan if it's not going to be brought to every nation of the world, especially the nations that they have nuclear weapons, omnicide is coming up. That awareness has to be brought in every nation. This is the first thing that we have to do as a human species. And we're not doing it. We're working for any other things. We're working about other beautiful things, but you cannot afford right now to spend any other time for anything else except this. That's my humble opinion. I mean, there is a movement against, you know, killing animals. There is a movement against in this and against that. There's also many movements that are all beautiful and great and important. But if you don't see the importance of eliminating weapons of mass destruction, especially nuclear weapons, you are in the wrong path, because it's going to happen if you don't do anything about it. I feel so urgent the need for awareness. Einstein said 55 years ago, there are no secrets and there is no defense. The only way you can go on with life is to bring awareness to the public. That is the only way. And this is in every way making hard by the governments. The government is making it hard, these educations to go on. They will do everything they can to stop this education to go on. They don't help it. And what actually, in truth, they do is they really are building their grave. They're building the grave for humanity, because if you don't allow the people to be educated, to bring down this kind of institution of war, not just the nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction, they will be used soon. They will be used, and they will be used soon. So the only way to really find meaning in your life is to share your life, to give your life at the end for other people to become compassionate and have the desire to see peace on earth, even though eventually if it's not going to come. The meaning of life is to work for peace. The meaning of life is the effort. It's not the attainment. Just like Gandhi said, happiness is not attainment of the goal. It is the process towards the attainment. So he said, full effort, full victory. I believe the full victory is to do our best and all efforts we have and we can to really abolish nuclear weapons and to see peace. The uncomfortable truth is that everyone who belongs to the world system and pays taxes, and a part of their taxes goes to weapons, is contributing to the future destruction, the future omnicide. So it's not really just the scientists or the military men or the politicians that they do want to go and win a nuclear war, as they say. There is each one of us is responsible for that. If people don't start to share whatever they have with each other, instead giving this power to an organization, government, whatever it is, a group of people that they have no absolute idea what they will do with that power, then the end of the earth is for sure. There's just no way to stop it. All this power that has been concentrated now in certain governments on the world, who has given it to them? Every time we say we have these savings, instead saying this is surplus, and we know that person needs something, why do we go and put it for profit? Why do we go and say, let's put this money somewhere and invest them, and we're going to get a profit? How do you know with the people they take this power, money is power, what they will do with them? You have no absolutely idea what they will do with them. And that is exactly what has happened today. Everyone is living in a culture, and that culture tells him, invest. Invest for profit. But the ones that are using this power of yours, they don't tell you what they're doing with their money. Or even if they tell you, how do you know what they're doing when they take them and walk away? So unless people start trusting one another and helping one another instead killing each other, because that's exactly what we're doing. When we invest, and this is a kind of war that is not going to be very easily accepted, especially in the West, when you invest, the only thing you're doing is you are killing your neighbor. That's exactly what you're doing. People today, peacefully as they think, are killing one another. And it's just a matter of time. It's going to be manifested. The West, civilization, the capitalism, it doesn't matter how you call it. If it is based on profit, it is based on exploitation, it is based on how to get convenience, comfort on your survival, on the expense of the survival of the other people down there. It could be in a different neighborhood, it could be in a different city within the same country, it could be in a different country. It doesn't work because the earth is a finite sphere. It's the air is finite, it's not an infinite amount. The soil is finite. It's not an infinite amount. The water is finite. Everything is finite. It is not infinite. And so eventually, if you bring pain to someone down there on the road, it's going to come back to you. You are not isolated. You are one thing. Your brother down there in that poor neighborhood is one of your toes. The lady there down there in Ethiopia is one of... It's one of your fingers. It's just your body is really every part of the earth. There is no way this society based on profit to survive. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line is a society based on profit does not have many years left. A society who is based on profit eventually is based on violence, and we see it. And there is no way in the world that there is violence and have all these nuclear weapons ready to be used that this society is going to survive. So the first thing we have to do is to start sharing with one another what we have and to be converted into a society of giving instead of a society of getting. If we convert ourselves into a society of giving, everybody will have more than what we need. Now, very few people have what they need. There are a lot of people on Earth, millions of people. They don't even have the necessary things. They don't even have food to eat. And we're going to pay for this. Unless we change ourselves and we see the holistic view of the Earth, see that everyone is a child of the Creator and has a right to eat and sleep in a nice place, we're going to bring all this disaster to ourselves.
That was a conversation with Andreas Toupadakis. In January of 2000, he left his classified position at the Lawrence Livermore National Lab and joined the peace movement. Dr. Andreas Toupadakis left his well-paying job at the height of his career. Very few nuclear scientists have done what he has done, and even fewer have publicly spoken out. His resignation drew international attention, and he was invited to speak at the World Conference Against A&H Bombs, an annual event in Japan. When the first nuclear bomb was dropped on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, 130,000 people died, and 90% of the city was leveled. In spite of the end of the Cold War, the U.S. and the former Soviet Union keep nuclear missiles on daily high-level alert. They can be launched on warning within 15 minutes or less. The firepower of these weapons has increased exponentially since 1945. 5,000 strategic warheads are kept on hair trigger alert, and they equal about 100,000 Hiroshima bombs. There are 20 documented incidents when either the U.S. or Russia were beginning preparations to launch based on faulty computer data or human error. The full conversation with Andreas Toupadakis was an hour long, and you can get that tape for $12. For a credit card order, call us toll-free at 1-877-TUC-TAPE. That's 877-TUC-TAPE. Or send your $12 check to TUC Radio, Box 41009, San Francisco, California, 94141. That's Box 41009, San Francisco, California, 94141, USA. TUC Radio's website is www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gilarden. Thank you for listening.